freakradio.org, Free the Land Show, 101.1 FM. We're here with Colonel Terry. We're going to be talking about the recent victory over PG&E in the election, energy policy in general, and maybe some corrupt government information and tide of creeping fascism. And later on, I'll be doing a UFO expose. Hi, Terry.
Evening, friend. Can you hear me loud and clear?
I put my headphones on.
We've got a great program for anybody listening, and we really would like to have some smart, informed people call in. And I know you're out there listening, because I know lots of smart, progressive types listen to 101. We also want to invite Ed Fry to call in. We mentioned it to Ed at the Penn University yesterday. Would he please stand by? I want to encourage people to sign Ed's petition to run for Congress. Ed is a smart, progressive guy. And we'd finally, Santa Cruz and Monterey County would have an effective member of Congress for a change, as well as one truly progressive and not corrupted, as unfortunately I observed in many decades, more than a few decades, collectively in Washington, D.C., the near total corruption of both the Democratic and Republican parties. Also, my perspective includes when I was young and youthful in the 70s working for Ralph Nader in what became the Clean Air and Clean Water Act advocacy, and a couple of efforts for consumer protection, regulating toxic chemicals, which became largely the EPA effort, and also trying to reform the Congress so the Congress would have to disclose its financial contributions as well as all the employment of the wives of the senators and members of Congress, which, interestingly enough, is why Senator Bayh from Indiana and Senator Dodd, yes, from Connecticut, are not running for re-election just weeks and months before their respective state Democratic parties had to announce and nominate and designate a candidate for the U.S. Senate. And in Bayh's case in Indiana, it was 9 weeks before the deadline. And he had 70% approval rating in the state. He had three times enough money to run and millions of dollars in campaign contributions. Why would he drop out? Well, it turns out Mrs. Bayh, with obviously the senator's knowledge and encouragement, had been working as a lobbyist 2 and 3 days a week for $1 million a year from the same industry lobbyists that her husband was voting on things on the Senate. And, of course, he naturally steered things favorable to those industry thieves, crooks, and greedy guys that his wife was being paid $1 million from. The same can be said of Mrs. Dodd's relationship with insurance companies. The Bayh relationship was with pharmaceutical companies her husband was voting favorably for. And Mrs. Dodd was receiving lots from the insurance companies, and the senator, of course, sold us all out, as has most of the Congress, in my observation of 20-some years in D.C., actually close to 30, periodically. And we will address tonight, Free and I, how we might fix it. And fundamentally, I'm suggesting a political revolution. One approach is for us intelligent, honest progressives to infiltrate the Democratic Party the way the right-wing religious nuts infiltrated the Republican Party, and for us to convert the Democratic Party to be actually an effective spokesperson for intelligent wisdom, everybody, and progressive things like Medicare or its equivalent for everybody at a 3% cost to our economy to administer instead of the 24 to 46% the health insurance executives are ripping us all off at. An energy policy that would transition our national economy off of petroleum dependence and therefore off of the greed and corruption of the oil companies, the coal companies, and those related to them, and face up with the ethical obligation that we are a national society, the United States. We are 4% of the world's population, and we are extracting and burning up forever 25% or more of the gone-forever natural resources, like petroleum. And we're producing at least 24% of the lingering residual pollution that's contributed to and is causing the climate change, which I call it climate poisoning, because that's what it is. We are a species that has over-dominated the planet, over-extracted it, and we are poisoning our own planetary sandbox. Why shouldn't the United States demonstrate the way to make the transition to the top of that and to correct it? And Santa Cruz, one of the reasons I commute between here, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia and Santa Cruz in my current lifestyle. And I want you to know I do purchase carbon offsets when I fly back the east to offset my seat as well as one or two on either side of me in the airplane.
How does that work?
Well, you can buy a tree. There's a number of United's got an arrangement. I believe American does too. I typically fly United. There's more than several that bona fide are certified, kind of like a truly honest organic source, and they verify that they've taken your $23 and they've used it for one or two or more trees specifically. So you can you're now planting trees that offset the carbon.
Oh yeah, did they tell you exactly where?
Some of them will. They'll say where.
So you could go visit your tree after
well,
your vacation.
Well, you can visit the grove where your tree is at anyway free.
Okay.
But, you know, that's something we should, again, it's tragic that's not that the airlines aren't saying, we fly you clean, right? You know, here, pay your $23 and get on the airplane, and here's the grove, and here's the photograph, and here's the tree's been added, and you get a, you know, 3 weeks later, you get a picture of the same grove with trees planted for everybody in that flight by flight number designation. There's an approach that we should take universally. But in addition to that, we should have every one of these cars downtown Santa Cruz should be electric. We should declare,
absolutely.
You know, and we should probably declare that electric hybrid vehicle free in Santa Cruz gets to freaking park free. How's that?
Yeah, there's a good idea.
And I'm disappointed that Santa Cruz, the city and the county, have not demonstrated to be more at the total forefront of, doggone it, let's face reality and live ethically regarding the environment and other matters as well. And maybe the true progressives should take over the Santa Cruz City Council in the next election in November, with we are going to show the world, not just be regarded as, you know, freaky outpost of far left progressives, which unfortunately is how Santa Cruz is unfairly painted. I find Santa Cruz filled with, I go to book groups, I go to meetings downtown like the Penn University on Monday nights.
Is that 5 o'clock? Right?
5 o'clock. Filled with caring people like Ed Fry, who mm-hmm. really cares about the country, the community, and related things, and his own ethical conduct of his life, as do lots of people in Santa Cruz. I don't see that same warmth of community free when I go to a similar author's lecture in suburban Washington, D.C., or suburban Philadelphia, or suburban New York.
Mm-hmm. And then when you get to our city council, it just, you know, it's supposedly liberal, but it's kind of...
Again, there's some competent, really, caring people there, from my observation, but let's push them.
Well, like you said, I think we need to turn over a new...
Perhaps so. I mean, really progressive, but I mean...
would we achieve that, do you think?
You get it... Well, the way political campaigns happen, you get people organized first on ballot petitions, you get them focused with groups like we did on Proposition 16.
And yeah, that's where I was kind of leading, is because you just did a successful campaign against PG&E on Prop 16. That's what you've been working on lately.
I was very much involved with 16 for a couple of reasons, and fighting 16. And I worked 21 days, 15, 17 hours a day, pretty much consistently, with a whole group of other folks. 2 weeks of that period were in Marin County, because Marin County is what brought about Proposition 16 in terms of PG&E trying to kill what the Marin County green citizens did.
Mm-hmm.
And Marin County, 7 years ago, said, why don't we have an independent electric power distribution arrangement, a municipal, a nonprofit, maybe even independent of the government, that's not saddled to corporate greed and overhead, bloated executive salaries, and paying huge dividends to holding companies like PG&E is, so we can cut the cost there, and we'll require it to buy green power, as in renewables, from mm-hmm. solar, photovoltaic, a little geothermal, and a lot of wind, and hydropower, which they're doing. And so the Marin Clean Energy switched on the 7th of May. It took them 7 years dickering with the Public Utility Commission of Sacramento, but mainly because of PG&E's every effort to thwart this good thing.
No, absolutely. Well, there goes their business. They don't want this to catch on.
They're a dinosaur. They're mm-hmm. But you have to understand, PG&E got to be the power company in California because in the 20s and 30s, they stole the power system from independent municipals like the Sacramento Municipal Utility District.
Mm-hmm. How'd they steal it?
They bribed. They explained how they did this. a man named Beekemer, who was the founder of PG&E at the turn of the century and its CEO into the 30s, possibly the 40s. He wrote a letter, 1931 or so, describing how he knocked out all the independent, lower-cost municipal utility companies for electricity generating. In 16 pages, how they started out, they would bribe the politicians in the state legislature, selectively enough of them. They would bribe the governor, typically. They would bribe both Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature, as I mentioned, and on municipal city councils like San Francisco, a few others.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego came to mind, I think. And then they would put utility company money in the local bank. So now they had the bankers beholden for those deposits floating into their bank deposits. Then they'd get the bankers to push selling stock to prominent citizens, just a few shares.
Mm-hmm.
And then they continued the bribery. They bribed judges if necessary. And he laid this out in a 16-page letter that he sent to colleagues of his and some people he was in mutual investments with in the Midwest who did the same thing, buying the electric municipal, local, city, and in some cases statewide entities away from the government. And it's just, they also altered the textbooks. They paid people to change the U.S. textbooks in high school to favor corporate ownership over proper run, monitored by the state legislature or the city council or the county boards. Local municipal utilities. And there's no reason, for example, it's a tragedy. It's a terrible economic tragedy because the United States is handicapped by higher electric energy costs that are 25 to 50 to 300 to 400% higher, depending where and what the category is of usage, than they would be if we had nonprofit government-run utilities. You know, government-run water companies run fine. Government electric distribution networks, again, I'll bring up the example of the Sacramento, California City Municipal District, run just fine. And they pay people an adequate, you know, bureaucratic civil servant salary. And for example, Mr. Darby, the CEO of PG&E presently, he comes from Goldman Sachs because Goldman Sachs is involved in this whole cheating after the Enron escapades.
It seemed to be everywhere.
Yes, well, Goldman Sachs is involved in why California's utility system is so handicapped and overpriced. And it's rewarding Goldman Sachs as an investor group, as well as partners of Goldman Sachs through their London office, which include the Saudi royal family as not-so-secretive hidden investors, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back to that in a minute. Keep that connection in mind. So Mr. Darby's getting $22 million reported. Some estimates are his actual compensation hidden is $44 million a year. Now, I could hire somebody to be a CEO of PG&E's network, if it were a government-owned arrangement, for probably $260,000 to $280,000 a year, who would have an electrical engineering degree from MIT or someplace equivalent, and would have 20 years at least of experience in relevant energy utility delivery and supervision and executive decision-making and analysis. Why do we have to pay Mr. Darby a freaking $22 million and maybe a lot more in annual bonuses? And his other executives, outrageous amounts. And then why are billions, hundreds and hundreds of millions that add up to millions of dollars from every time California pays its electrical bills to PG&E, leaving the state, going to this holding company arrangement, some Wall Street investors, and now the Saudi connection is very interesting. It apparently turns out, and I haven't got all the solid evidence for this, but I've got enough about it to invite anybody else if they know further about it, and to say all the information I've seen leads this to be honest until PG&E demonstrates otherwise. I offered PG&E, any of its executives and Mr. Darby, an opportunity over the last 3 months to debate me publicly anywhere about PG&E's criminal conduct in the 20s and 30s, its continuing rogue conduct, its corporatist abusive conduct, when its executives and directors mismanaged it to satisfy their own greed into bankruptcy, and the California voters, when Gray Davis was governor, and by the way, Davis sold us out, no question about it, caved in.
Is that back 2001 when
yes.
the power...
And what should have happened is PG&E was bankrupt because they had pushed for deregulation legislation. It's too complicated to go into all the details presently, but the bottom line, irrefutable evidence is they mismanaged themselves into bankruptcy by their own damn fault, the greed of their directors and the holding companies that were involved with them. They funneled assets by selling their production plant offshore, moved the revenue offshore, and came to Gray Davis and everybody and said, well, we need $11 billion, we PG&E, in order to stay operating and deliver electricity in California. At that point, Gray Davis should have had the integrity, the intelligence, and the backbone to say, fine, PG&E, and the wisdom. If you want the state of California that then had great credit to back $11 billion of your bonds, which, by the way, every time you pay a light bill, anybody pays their PG&E bill in California, there's a little line down at the bottom that's got at least 4 cents or more that's going to satisfy the bonds that were derived by PG&E lobbying and pressing Gray, and also probably getting Willie Y. Brown to take some bribe money from them, it appears, and other members of the state legislature. The point is, California voters and taxpayers and utility customers should have gotten ownership of all the PG&E plant,
right.
Okay, for that $11 billion. Fine, PG&E, here's the $11 billion, pay off your creditors, maintain your plant and activities, you're done.
That's
and
right.
And we'll call it the
Fire
state
those
of,
idiots.
Call it the state of California public utility company. And you could have paid people fair salaries. You could have kept all the PG employees, like the linemen and the installers and the people who process the bills and the paperwork. You could have kept all of those people employed as state employees or state utility, independent corporation owned by the state employees, paid them adequate salaries, gotten already all these ridiculously, preposterously overpaid and corrupt, okay, and damn greedy executives at the top of the corporation, fired the freaking board of directors, also were incompetent and corrupt, clearly, and we probably have utility costs in California now, not just probably, I could do this calculation on the blackboard and show you how it would work, at least 40% less than PG&E's rates, and possibly one-third to one-quarter. And imagine what that would do to lower the manufacturing cost of something in California. Because right now, California is among the top three. New York, Hawaii, and California have the highest electric utility rates, thanks to PG&E. And
so that'd be less manufacturing here because of the high electricity
exactly.
fewer jobs for anyone.
Exactly. The price of running an auto dealership is higher because you're paying a lot more for your electric bill and your power. So the bottom line is, I'm curious if there's anybody else out there who'd like to call us in. And what is our number to take calls again, please, Free?
427-3772.
At 831 area code,
427-3772.
Right. And Ed Fry, if you are out there, please give us a call, because I want to encourage people to sign Ed's petition to run for Congress in November. The petition is being circulated. It will be available at the Free University on Monday nights. It will be available downtown on Pacific Avenue. And a whole lot of us who want to see an honest and competent congressman for a change from Santa Cruz are supporting Ed's efforts, challenging.
Do you know his website?
I do not. Frey, Ed Fry.
I think
and,
it's Ed Fry.
But places like Whole Foods will have people petitioning for him. At the Episcopal Church downtown, up and down Pacific, as well as when the summer session opens at Cabrillo College and UCSC.
What geographic area can collect
him? His district is Santa Cruz, at least the southern part of the county, down to Monterey is that congressional district, the 17th congressional district.
He's looking to replace Sam Farr.
Hopefully so.
Who takes all that methyl bromide money from the...
He does do that, Sam Farr. In addition to that, when I was living in Capitol Hill, I would go and watch the Congress. And because Farr was from Santa Cruz and my folks were living in Santa Cruz, I'd get back here a lot. I'd go see some of the sessions. And I got to tell you, Sam would show up unprepared, clearly unprepared for committee meetings. And had the least probing, informed questions to ask. It was embarrassing to be from Santa Cruz. In addition to that, he took the banker's money to get rid of Glass-Steagall, in 98. Oh,
that's why we have a banking problem.
And we have a banking problem because he and Pelosi and the Republicans, run by, you know, supervised by Gingrich, but the Democratic, and Sam acknowledged this. He said, he said it to a public Democratic session. It was great to get the money from the bankers, and Pelosi told him to vote against Glass-Steagall and remove it.
So if you're being foreclosed on your house, you can go go down and see Sam Farr and ask him to get you your house back.
Yeah, he lives in Carmel. His offices are in downtown Santa Cruz and Salinas. Yeah, let him go in, and I'd say take your mortgage foreclosure notice there and say we'd like Sam to get a private bill through Congress to stop it, or maybe from his own money or his own campaign contributions.
Yeah, some of the money he got from the bankers to get rid of the regulations that caused them all to fail.
The Democrats got $500 million, and the Republicans got $500 million, is one of the reported numbers. At a minimum, $500 million in known disclosed cash called campaign contributions went to the Democrats and Republicans equally from the bankers. Half a freaking billion dollars, okay, to get rid of Glass-Steagall, and 90% of the meltdown would not have happened that happened
so
last year.
So that's a billion into, and then they got $2 trillion return on it, so that's like 2,000 to 1. That's great.
That's
better than the you know, lottery almost.
Exactly. Very astonishing return on the investment. Which brings us up to my overall observations, working in three White Houses, by the way, and also lots of years in D.C. that included in the 70s when I had hair to my shoulders and I was a youthful idealist. I did some serious work for Nader on the Clean Air, Clean Water Act efforts and what became EPA, and some consumer safety issues and issues of chemical pollution. We also did a thing called the Congress Project that I worked with Mark Green on, the same Mark Green who's the vice deputy mayor of New York City and a progressive guy, and one of the Air America, the ill-fated Air America directors they brought in late. I think
that's CIA, right?
No, Air America, the Air America radio broadcasting.
Oh, okay.
Okay, from New York, the progressive. The not, similar word.
Because I knew you were also served in the
I was
Air Force.
Force officer. Yeah, I was. And as a former Air Force officer, retired Air Force officer, the Bush-Cheney manipulations invading Iraq was criminal. And I've got it here in the studio with me. The wonderful Vincent Bugliosi book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush and Cheney for Murder. It's a New York Times bestseller. Bugliosi, B-U-G-L-I-O-S-I, Vincent. The People versus Bush, written by Charlotte Dennett. A lawyer's campaign to bring the president and vice president to justice in the national grassroots movement she encounters along the way. Wonderful. And then let us not forget Tom Frank's book, The Wrecking Crew, How Modern Conservatives Rule and Have Ruined the American Government.
and the economy.
And the economy.
The environment. What else can they ruin?
Which brings us to, I'm curious if there's anybody out there listening.
Probably like to maybe one or two.
Anybody disagree? I'm sure there's lots listening, but
they can try calling. But then again, I might screw up.
Are there any right wingers? Well, you'll do our best. Anybody who would like to attempt to defend Bush and Cheney for an instant, from my conclusion that they were the Bush Cheney was the or Cheney Bush is probably what it should be called, the most corrupt, incompetent, and damaging presidency in our history.
Oh, without a doubt.
And yet. The standard media, with its four corporations owning 90% of our radio stations and almost all of the TV and cable network broadcasting, won't come true to disclosing the truth. And the reality, the simple reality about what this government has become. Again, we made reference to Democratic corruption that includes our own local congressman taking money from the bankers and Pelosi. Also, by the way, Pelosi wouldn't pursue impeachment on Bush and Cheney. Because she let $85 million of our money go to a company called Lennars. This is on public record. Lennars, L-E-N-N-A-R-S, real estate, and the Hunters Point project got $85 million of Superfund cleanup money they were not eligible for to get a dime of that Pelosi helped manipulate, and Cheney helped that happen. In addition to that, it's reported that Mrs. Cheney and her husband had failed to report $2 million 2 years in a row of his real estate income in the San Francisco area, and that Cheney and Paulson cut a deal with her that Paulson would direct the IRS commissioner, a Bush appointee at the time, in the fall of 96 when it was clear she was going to be speaker designate, with the Democrats taking control of the House in November of 96. It's on the public record that Pelosi and Cheney had several private lunches that summer and spring and fall. And 2 days after her husband is allowed to settle a $6.5 million bill reported to me by friends of the Justice Department that he owed in back taxes and penalties, plus he should have gone to prison for 4 to 6 years. He and she are allowed to settle it for $254,000 in adjustments to the taxes.
Offer and compromise.
And no prison, and it's swept under the rug. My friends of mine who I trust and believe have said, Terry, we've seen the paperwork and the references to it. 2-3 business days later, she's on national television saying impeachment's off the table. She sold us out. Okay? And that is, it's just so damn blessed corrupt, both sides, both Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. It just is infuriating. Is there anybody else out there who is infuriated? I mean, there's a lot to be mad about, Free. You know, the teabaggers, I understand their frustration. There is a lot. Anybody who sees any of the accurate news to be freaking pissed off about, regardless of your politics.
The corruption hurts both sides, unless you're the one doing the corrupting.
Yes, exactly. We progressives and intelligent, caring people have got to somehow present an opportunity for everybody who's pissed off to focus their energies on cleaning up the mess. And that means, in my view, and I'm putting a book together on this, but it's pretty obvious. Public financing of elections, total financial disclosure by the members of the Congress and the Senate of all their money sources, including their wives' employment, Senator Dodd and Bayh and others, okay? Plus any deals they have. I mean, by the way, the Clintons also have sold us out looking forward. How do you think they made $110 million after he was president? All bribes paid after the fact. That's it. If anybody wants to debate me on that evidence, I'll be happy to do
also, it. A lot of the CIA cocaine went through the airport in Arkansas, and he probably helped him out on that.
But I mean, after he was president, there's $110 million in income, from questionable sources. But jumping back on the whole Congress and the issue and the solutions, public financing, total transparency of all employment and sources of income paid the senators and congressmen, their wives, their children, their useless nieces and nephews, their brothers and brothers-in-law out to the side. If you don't want to have that disclosure, don't run for Congress. We don't need you. Even their mistresses. We want to know what they're being paid. In addition to that, a recognition we send them there probably for term limits, but we send them to be citizen legislators and provide wisdom. 80% of a member of Congress, including Farr's time, is spent hustling money for his own efforts or their efforts or for their party, respectively. And the more they hustle, the higher they get into committee chairmanship positions. Again, it's an all sellout. We've given the congressmen and the senators the wrong economic incentive. We've given them the incentive to be damn political whores and prostitutes, okay? And that's an unfair use of the term, in my view and experience, to say congressman and prostitute. It's an insult to people engaged in the sex business.
Mm. Well, part of they need that money for elections because the media costs are so expensive. You know, if we had free media.
Part of Colonel Terry's solution is we own the airwaves and require the networks and the broadcasters, okay, require them to provide adequate opportunity for across-the-spectrum presentation of political views and candidates, legitimate candidates to present their efforts and their point of view and their candidacy. Again, we own it. It's part of the commons. It's like public highways. So a number of those solutions would be implemented. I think we just need 15 or 20% of the American population saying, damn it, we want to clean up our government. We want it recognized that a government by the people, for the people, of the people is what we're supposed to have according to the Constitution, not one that's owned by corporate executives, and in some cases, foreign governments that are bribing our Congress through lobbyists as well. Okay, so, hey, Ed Fry, where are you? On 16, I should point out, why did the good guys win 16, you asked me.
Yeah, that's true, because you did do a lot of work on that.
I and a group of people, I wanted Marin to succeed as an effort. I did some contracting assistance as well. I had negotiated with utilities all over the country in my
What exactly was your task on this?
Well, it started out with me advising them on their contract arrangements with PG&E, and then I saw how PG&E was just abusing them terribly. And then I saw the truth behind 16, and I spent a good part of a week researching all of the corporate history back to the origins of PG&E. And by the way, there's a wonderful 670-page report by the Federal Trade Commission, if anybody's interested. Okay, I waded through it all. It lays out everything like this guy Beekemer's letter and related corruption and manipulations that utilities have done all over the country, the large...
Uh-huh. Where would you get that report?
You can get it from the Federal Trade Commission, and it's online.
It's like a nominal fee, and it's free online, right?
Through the Library of Congress, okay?
It's what was it called?
Public Utility Report, Federal Trade Commission, and that's all you need. Federal Trade Commission,
in a year or something? Or?
The first issue came out in like 29, then it was upgraded in 32, 34, and then there have been, in the 1980s, there was additional observations updating it. The federaltradecommission.gov, ftc.gov will probably have it. And we'll put it out in the station again subsequently, but again, the utility efforts, utility report, 670 pages is referenced. It's well known, and several people in Marin had copies. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to leave a message here at the build at the station, if they're really eager for it, we'll leave a request, okay, and we'll get it. Call us in now, and we'll talk to you about it.
You're going to send us an email to overthrowproperty@yahoo.com.
Want to say that again?
Overthrowproperty@yahoo.com.
Good. Attention, any questions, and I will get back to you.
Yeah, that's the free the land.
So why did the good guys win? I was amazed, even though we had a poll that showed us 30%, like 10 days ago, 10 to 8 days before the election, 3 even, 10, 5, the week, at least the week before the vote on 8 June. Our numbers were showing 30%. Were fooled to vote for Prop 16, which was stupid as hell unless you were a PG&E stockholder. Okay, there would be no motivation for you to vote for 16 to deny every other county except Marin to have a county-sponsored citizens electric distribution arrangement at no profit and buying green power, and therefore having lower rates as well than PG&E. So why would you want to not save money and promote green power and not have part of your electric bill payment, by the way, go to Saudi Arabia as well as Goldman Sachs? So anybody that was stupid enough to be fooled, now, of course, PG made it easy to be fooled because they called this thing equivalent to taxpayers' freedom, and then they put the word choice in the same line of the title. So left-wingers would be thinking it's choice somehow, and the right-wingers would go for taxpayer freedom.
Standard on those proposition, yes, on the ballot, yes, the corrupt one. They'll usually run three or four ones that are off, you know, off what you want, to just so you won't know what's the good one for the people.
Positive few, and free. This was like the worst case, I'm sure, ever, or as bad as any.
And then they advertise the hell out of them, and you never hear about the good one.
Yes, as you saw the ads. And PG&E spent $46 million reported to push this thing through on the advertising and public relations, and probably another $20 million under the table to radio stations and newspaper editors. And they got the California Chamber of Commerce for $50,000 that they reported in a contribution to endorse this thing. It would damage every household and business in California by depriving them, as I say, of the benefits of what Marin did, cheaper power, cleaner. And yet the Chamber of Commerce hustled and sold out. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were bribes paid to the directors of the California Chambers of Commerce under the table. I know how it's done.
Oh, absolutely.
I saw it done all over the country when I was negotiating with utility companies before and other entities. More significantly, how the good guys won 16 is, you asked me to mention that, and the word got out. The Sierra Club, I met at the Sierra Club headquarters to help orchestrate how can we get the word out on the web, how can we start to write letters to the editor. I wrote dozens of letters to the editor, laying this out in four or five simple paragraphs, the corporate terrible criminal history of PG&E, the misrepresentations about 16, it's not what the company is saying, it's not going to give you cheaper power, it gives you less choice, and it results in less green-derived electrons coming into California. And it was an effort by PG&E to maintain this horrible manipulative monopoly. And by the way, PG&E, in my view, is a candidate for antitrust law enforcement, anti-monopoly law enforcement at both the federal and state level.
I wish we had some of that.
I brought this to Jerry Brown, the Attorney General's office, and they never got back to us. Okay? and so, you know, Brown didn't want to antagonize PG&E too harshly, perhaps. But I sent correspondence saying we progressives, frankly, should organize so that if Mr. Brown, unless you're going to protect the public against PG&E's abusive, excessive monopolization, which Prop 16 clearly was, then we ain't going to vote for you for governor. So we'll see. At this point, I'm inclined to endorse Jerry Brown because we did win 16. It would have been nice if he'd come out more effectively. Somewhat effectively, but now why did we win? People got on the network the same way Obama and organizing for Obama won on the net free. It was phone calls, it was door to door, it was webcast, it was a coordinated effort, lots of dedicated volunteers throughout the state working long hours focused on getting the facts and truth out that Prop 16 was PG&E's false representation to maintain monopoly hold, to deny us greater freedom and lower prices in electric utilities.
So instead of taking out media ads, you called people up directly.
Good
and
point.
Walked
which was
door to door.
We couldn't afford. We didn't have $40 million. By the way, we had less than $1 million in resources.
This is for a statewide election.
And we defeated $44, $46 million that PG&E acknowledges they spent to try and push this 16 crap through. I'm convinced there's another $20 million in costs and assets that they invested.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, I put together...
And you'll be paying for those in your rates,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I put together a plan for $150,000 to pierce the PG&E balloon. And some of that got implemented enough for... I don't want to say it was me alone, because there were wonderful, hardworking people in Marin County, like the Women's Energy Network.
So this was kind of out of Marin County?
Well, Marin Clean Energy was certainly a focal point, but there were similar groups in L.A., similar groups up and down the Bay Area.
So, and you networked with these other groups?
Yes.
And you used the same strategies, shared that kind of thing?
Yes. Sierra Club got on board. You know, we had coordinating meetings at Sierra Club headquarters in San Francisco early on. And elsewhere, a thing called TURN, which is a utility challenging a utility reform effort, TURN, also mm-hmm. based in San Francisco, and a lot of affiliate Sierra Club branches. Some of the League of Women Voters locations said, let's get the facts out. Now, they didn't...
So you started at that level. What, you networked with other groups to come to some consensus?
That had a common interest free.
Okay. Exactly. I mean, I see that around town with the different political groups, and you know, everybody's always bickering on their own point of view. How did you overcome that and unite them in a common front?
It's interesting. The first Sierra Club headquarters meeting in San Francisco one night, there were a spectrum of groups, okay? One was Main Street Moms, comes to mind, okay? Wonderful group of caring mothers that helped the Marin County based primarily, but they've expanded. And they had the Democratic Party phone network lists, okay, or equivalent, legitimately. Somehow, somebody had given them all of the registered Democrats in California.
Those are worth money,
okay,
right?
Yes, okay. So, or somebody had bought that for them, actually.
Okay.
A benefactor in Marin County had. So, they had that as a basic starting point. And they were calling and keeping the records, and they had dozens of moms all over the state, many dozens, getting that accurate word out. Well, I gave them some additional ammunition based on my research of PG&E's corporate history and the other facts and the failure of PG&E to come close to meeting its green power commitments it made years ago to the state and falsely misrepresents, by the way, to the Public Utility Commission, to the point, in my personal view, of fraudulent misrepresentation, kind of like British Petroleum. But at the state level. Point being, I armed them with solid arrows in their quiver and an approach to target, go after.
Some talking points.
Talking points, especially to inform the undecided, because we'd done a poll early on. I moved myself away from my own thought. I was mentioning we did a poll, and as recently as 8 or 10 days before the 7th of May election, our 7th of June election, our polls that had some degree of statistical likelihood were showing 35% were for 16, being fooled by the power company or there were mm-hmm. stockholders in PG&E or PG&E retirees. Mm-hmm. But even some of the retirees saw through it and said, don't vote for it. 35% were against it. Either they'd gotten the word about Prop 16 from us. They'd seen
close race.
They saw exactly, and 30% in the middle free were undecided as of 8 or 5 days before the election. So we went into a real launch mode, trying to identify as many undecided locations, and we found a lot of
like area neighborhoods or something that were
Los Angeles, some in the Bay Area, some in the Central Valley, and so on. And where Prop 16 won, where PG&E fooled people not paying attention. And basically voting against their own interests, was Orange County. I've got a list.
It's a pretty
Orange
conservative county.
They're
going to vote that way
anyway.
Fresno,
okay, Fresno, got the picture here.
Okay.
All of the mountain areas, Ukiah, the county that Truckee is in, and those places, they were fooled and misled. And again, 48% of the voters voted for it, completely against their own interests, and we won by 51 or 53%. That is, we won, defeated. Prop 16 was defeated by 53%.
And you went after that middle. And now, and politically, that's really all you can do. A lot of political groups will get polarized against the, you know, the far side of the spectrum and just fight with them. And it's really kind of a waste of time. You have to focus on the people in the middle that could go your way.
As a bona fide genius IQ at the Einstein level friend of mine, older friend of mine, said, Franz Frisch is his name. He said, he didn't take politics. He took it as a citizen obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And a brilliant technologist. And Franz said, he's now about 90. Franz said a few years ago to me, well, Terry, it's easy to figure out American politics and why it's so frustrating for smart people who are informed. It's because the Republicans and Democrats are both stupid about different things. And to some degree, that's true. More so, I think, in the last 12 years, the Republicans have been so taken over by the corporate greedy types, the K Street lobbyists, the religious nut crowd, the extreme religious evangelical goofballs who are in it because they've made religion a business at the top, and the other folks want simple solutions to complex issues.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, as every listener to this station knows, complex problems, be they personal or regional or national or metaphysical, don't have simple solutions. They have complex solutions, especially economic and political ones. Which brings us to solutions here. We got to have enough people provide candidates who want to focus on fixing things like the election corruption, the financing of elections, and we have to have people who are citizen legislators, which is what the founders in the Constitution, the Constitutional Convention, and by the way, I will brag, I am a relation and descendant of one of the signers of Declaration of Independence, who was Benjamin Rush from Pennsylvania, and he was a physician by training, and I've got his diaries and some of the correspondence copies that he sent with Jefferson. He sent to both Jefferson and Adams. My ancestor and that whole crowd, they would roll in their graves if they saw the despicable corruption the U.S. Congress and the state legislators have become.
Mm-hmm.
Again, by not expecting that we're going to have citizen legislators with integrity go and provide wisdom instead of see how much they can enrich themselves by their wives being freaking lobbyists. Okay, and their kids, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I like the checks and balances in our government, but I don't think there's, you know, the fourth check really has enough strength, and that's the people. I mean, just juries and, you know, voting for a representative. There should be more. I mean, these propositions are actually direct democracy. It's the people bypassing their representatives and telling them exactly what they want.
But look how they got abused. Well, 16
they get lied
abused.
To.
Yes.
And then this is only half the battle. You still have to enact it. They're going to, you know, fight it in court probably. All kind, you know, like you say, bribing at the local levels to stop it. And that comes to a local. I mean, now Santa Cruz could form their own energy company and cut PG&E out completely. No more bills to PG&E.
Well, yeah, pretty much so. Yes, or PG&E could administer delivering it, and you'd automatically have the electricity purchased by this city or county entity, which could be a nonprofit or a nonprofit incorporation, or it could be the county itself, a division of the county utility activity.
Yeah, it has to be this county right?
Well, Marin's independent. Their Marin Clean Energy is a standalone institution that's allowed to use county buildings for its offices, and it purchases then the electricity outside the state frequently, or in the state, but from green sources as much as possible.
This is just power floating around, and it just came from this source or that source, and it's all on the grid, and you can specify the pricing based on the source and all that.
And you can specify where it comes from, that your power comes from hydro in Canada, or hydro in the Sierras, wind farms, solar locations, perhaps geothermal. And there's geothermal possibilities in Marin County, for example, to generate right there.
Yeah, you can generate your own energy and then sell it back on the grid to others.
Exactly. And in the case of Marin Clean Energy example, which Santa Cruz could do and every county in California could do, you've now got power that comes in that doesn't have all the overhead costs that PG&E has with its inflated $20 million a year executive salaries.
Somebody has to pay that, all that, and those advertising to fight these propositions.
That's
60,
right.
I mean, that comes right out of your rates that you pay.
Exactly.
You paid to screw yourself,
and
basically.
Which brings us back to what Gray Davis should have done when PG&E went bankrupt in the power crisis, is say, fine, we, the state, will run it.
I remember back then, I think L.A. had their own power or something, so their prices weren't going shooting through the roof like the rest of the state.
Also, they were non-PG&E, like San Diego Power and Light in Southern California. There's several.
Yeah, and they were getting their power the same prices. Deregulation occurs first. Someone bribes someone to get that. Then the prices shoot through the roof. They go bankrupt. We have to bail them out. It's exactly the same thing that happened with the banking.
But also, the PG&E directors moved the cash from selling their
offshore,
in conjunction with Goldman Sachs, which Mr. Darby.
Same thing's going to happen with BP. We're not going to see a dime of that money. It'll be in some other form of BP.
I hope you're wrong about that. I think Obama made it clear he wasn't as strong as I would have liked him to have been. However, I won't be disappointed if he holds firm on what he said tonight, which is, PG&E is going to pay us all back. We're going to put the money in escrow, and they're not going to get to run away from their obligations. But I wish he had been stronger on, ladies and gentlemen, we are at a national crossroads. We were at in 73 when the oil embargo happened. Okay, we got a civilization here dependent on petroleum and fossil fuels and natural gas, a depleting resource from Mother Nature and biological activities of the planet's natural history. Why are we burning it up forever and simultaneously polluting the air and water and land our grandchildren will live in? Why are we doing this? What species with a forebrain and any capacity to look ahead in the calendar lives like this? And then lets its government be controlled and corrupted by people as malevolent and without any ethical or moral conscience, as you saw if you get a chance to watch the oil executives testifying on the Hill today. I'm rerunning it. I urge everybody to look at that. It's clear these guys don't care. Well, spills are a consequence of our business. That's basically what they said. They don't care. They felt no obligation to be able to control any spill or to necessarily promise they would drill responsibly.
They have a cap, don't they, on how much they can be charged?
Well, $75 million if there's no negligence, but clearly there's going to be some evidence of negligence here.
And what does that do to it then? How
it
much
raises it,
however,
look how the Republican-dominated Supreme Court denied the people of Alaska $1.5 billion at least of the full recovery they got. They were supposed to get $5 billion, and they got $500 million, if I recall correctly. And 20 years they delayed it. People died who were damaged by Exxon Valdez. Once again, who does this country belong to, ladies and gentlemen? We the people? Or does it belong to greedy corporate executives and Wall Street bankers who own huge blocks in their companies and foreign governments that are corrupting our government as well as the Saudis and others selling commodities to us here, keeping us dependent? Why can't we live more responsibly? And as a former Air Force officer, strategically, it is so incredibly stupid, strategically stupid, for a national civilization to be dependent on petroleum from overseas sources, even if it didn't poison the planet. We could convert to electron flow, we could convert to some nuclear options that are like nuclear but cleaner, and I won't go into the details, but I'm available to talk to people if they want to later. we could have clearly more solar. We could put 100 square miles of solar panels in Arizona, purportedly.
And conservation is a big thing, too.
Conservation. And we could decide we will live environmentally, ethically, and simultaneously demand clean, honest government, free of oil company and coal company corruption. And third, we will declare we will set the example for the world on how to live ethically, environmentally, in balance. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping Obama comes out with that. I think his game plan is, having worked at three White Houses, also on speech writing, on significant issues myself, and observed it.
You were like a writer?
I was an
analyst. Whose speech did you write? Your president?
I'm not going to go into writing now. I contributed to speeches Reagan gave, Bush 1 gave, and Clinton gave.
So you crossed parties.
And we used to, I was an independent, as a military officer, I thought I should be. Family origins were Republican, and in fact, they go back as far as working for Lincoln. I have relatives who legitimately, we have evidence, worked for Lincoln when he ran for the Congress and the Senate in Illinois. They lived in Jacksonville, right near Springfield. And one of them also was a Methodist circuit rider and was invited by the Lincolns to participate while they were in Washington at a thing called the Foundry Methodist Church, which is 20-some blocks up the hill from the White House, up 16th Street. Point being, so this, and when the Republican Party was, the new progressives in 1854, 1860 with Lincoln and so forth.
They used to be the Liberal Party. Oh, yeah, there was a more conservative party that just withered away.
Well, somewhat through Teddy Roosevelt. And one of my grandfather, I have Teddy Roosevelt buttons.
And like Jefferson was a Republican, Lincoln.
In effect, yes. Where it went wrong is, the corporatists bought it out. Mm-hmm. And then
corruption,
Also, Eisenhower was in many ways, a progressive guy. He and Brownell, his attorney general, put forward civil rights legislation directed at southern states in 54, 55, 56, 58. And the southern Democrats, like Lyndon Johnson, killed it in the Senate, and it's almost identical. Eisenhower's civil rights efforts in the 50s are almost identical to the first 64 civil rights bill that Lyndon Johnson then takes all the credit for, after he clobbered any opportunity of it for 15 years as the Senate Majority Leader. At any rate, now, the Republican Party now, it's an insult to my... 20 years ago, it started to become an insult to my intelligence. And although I revived my interest in it when